Parenting and Parents on 702.
He is in studio, Mr. Themba Ntuli. Welcome. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much for having me. Welcome back.
Thank you.
It's good to have you.
And I'm glad to be coming back on such an interesting topic, because having been home, I had time to catch up on random TV shows I don't usually watch. There's a show on TLC, which is very like reality shows of everyday people, predominantly Americans. And there's one called Smothered. And it's about these, you know, from my perspective, very unhealthy relationships of mother and son or mother and daughter, where they are inseparable. And I'm going to give the very extreme example where a couple will be going on honeymoon and the man is telling his new wife to be that his mom has to come with him because yes. And I'm like, what?
Mom is joining us.
Or the fact that like mom is now buying you lingerie and then she also happens to have a matching set. Now, without us leaning into the conversation of parents who make their children their surrogate spouses, let's talk about what generally is the healthy thing one needs to look at, because I'm that person who I have a very close relationship with my mother. She's part of pretty much everything. And I can relate when a person's like, what do you mean? That's my mom. She has to be a part of this. But I also understand, listen, when you do, outside of the Bible saying when a man leaves his, you know, mother and father,
yes,
he cuts that umbilical cord.
Yes.
Outside of that, what should the understanding and belief be? And also taking into consideration the history of many people in this country where our parents gave everything for us. Now we feel like we owe them for eternity.
We owe them life. Thank you so much.
Yes, like as in like I will sacrifice my marriage.
For you.
Yes.
Thanks for having me. I think it's such an honor. Look, I'm glad that you actually started off with the biblical basis, because the entire institution of marriage, in my view, actually is based on that. The entire idea of leaving and cleaving, to say when one actually gets married, they need to leave and cleave. Mm. And by leaving, we do not necessarily mean that you need to abdicate or, you know, forsake your family or your parents for that matter. But what we mean is that you need to actually really work around your priorities. Priorities have to change, right? So basically your parents no longer become the first priority. Your spouse becomes the first priority. And then the cleaving part of things means that you guys then become, you know, one in speech, one in principles. You guys agree in this, that, and the other. So that's the idea of leaving and cleaving, to say you need to leave your family, you know, deprioritize them and then cleave, you know, to your spouse. Now, you know that leaving and cleaving is not done when these three things are happening. Number one, one spouse still really much depend on their parents for decision making, what we then call, you know, decision making dysfunction, where, you know, you'd find that every decision that has to be made lively and it has to via past Uma somewhere, you know,
yes.
Mom has to be consulted, dad has to be consulted,
yes.
Right? So, you know.
Or even as you're saying that, I'm thinking about the people who something significant happens in your life and you want to call your mother before your wife.
Yes, that's actually the third thing.
I'm like, hello.
So your wife gets it from the mom to say, hi, congratulations.
Yeah.
You know, it's the third thing when you are emotionally, you know, much more connected to your parents than your spouse. You actually seek emotional, you know, refuge from your parents than your spouse. So the first one is when you actually make your decisions based on your parents. Every decision has to be made by your parents, which is decision dysfunction. The second one is actually emotional dependence to your parents. It is an error for you to be very much connected to your parents emotionally than your spouse. You can't be. It can't be that whenever you get something exciting or you're frustrated, you know how people would do, ideally you should be calling your wife or your spouse when you're stuck in traffic and you're frustrated. It shouldn't be your mom or your dad. You know that there's a dysfunction when that happens. The last one is whenever there is a bit of a conflict in the house, I'm not talking about major things, but a bit of a conflict, the first people you call is your parents. Mm. You guys argue about dishes, who must wash dishes, this, that, and the other. I mean, it's something very insignificant. But the next thing you're on the phone, you know, with your mom talking about how, you know, you guys are arguing about washing dishes. So if these three things are present in your marriage, then it means that one is not left and one is not cleaved.
And I think, you know, this topic is obviously touching on a lot of other topics like codependency,
yes.
relationships, which we know can come about with exceptional circumstances. Let's say the parent, you know, is suffering with a serious, let's say, cancer.
Yes.
Now your own household stops for this thing that is going on, or the parent was addicted to substances, and there's an unhealthy relationship that forms. What would you say? You know, you've given the very clear examples.
Yes.
But what would you say now if a person recognizes? Because the problem is, if you as the spouse recognize the unhealthiness,
yes,
and as women will be like, "Ooh, I don't want a mama's boy."
Yeah.
Because he's gonna start telling me, "Hor, no, my mother made my porridge like this," yes, right?
Yes, yes. Mom used to make it like this.
What is the question a person should ask themselves? Because it isn't just men. Even women, where men will feel like, why can't we even just have something sacred between the two of us? Why must your mother know that we're having, I'm having erectile dysfunction or anything? Why must your mother know these things?
2 minutes vibes.
You know? Why must you know? Because now in an argument, even my mother says,
yeah,
you know.
My mom says you must try this and that concoction. It works for my dad.
Yes. So what must the person start to recognize in themselves? Because I don't want to dismiss the fact that that individual is dealing with a combination of guilt, shame, whatever it is that they're struggling.
Yes.
Because they'll start to feel like you're heartless.
Yes.
For cutting this parent. And you're not even cutting them off, you're just putting boundaries.
Yes. I think that's their first reaction, to say, you're not empathetic. You don't feel what I'm feeling. And I think we need to recognize the fact that we are a sum of our upbringing and of all of our experiences. And a lot of times, for instance, stats have shown that more than 70% of household, black household in the country, are without a father figure.
Mm.
So you then expect that in that kind of a setup, it means that more than 7 in 10 men grew up without their fathers in the house, so they're raised by their mothers. And what that means is that there is a bond that is formed between the two, right?
Mm.
And that's a challenge, because when they then get into a relationship, it's now the wife vis-a-vis the mother-in-law, right? So, and I think that's where the question of boundaries comes in, right?
Mm.
Number one, the first question that you ought to ask yourself is this healthy for my marriage, right?
Mm.
If it's causing issues in the marriage, if it's causing problems, there's fights, this, that, and the other, and it often comes up in the fights to say, but your mom this, your father this, that, and the other, it means it's a problem in the marriage and it needs to be given attention to. And I think it should be okay for your spouse to voice out their concerns without you feeling like they are insensitive about your situation, right? I understand that your mom has got cancer and she has to be taken care of, but let's have conversations and have boundaries that we set on the table to say, this is how far we can go in terms of assisting, you know, in the situation. But let's not sacrifice the entire marriage, put it on the altar of sacrifice simply because we want to save our parents, you know, lives or this, that, and the other. So it's very much important. I think that just boils down to the issue of boundaries. It's very important to set boundaries, well-communicated boundaries. Sometimes our boundaries are sort of like passive. You know, we don't discuss them. We're like, but you should know about this. And it shouldn't be the case. We should actually sit down as couples and say, this is how far we go in terms of the resources we use in this house for our families, in terms of the support, in terms of our availability, this, that, and the other. You know, for instance, we are not picking up calls after 10, you know, especially if it's just like random things. Unless, of course, if somebody is dying, then we should.
Yes.
We are not using the resources, you know, above this, that, and the other. So we need to have that conversation in the house, and we need to have those boundaries set properly.
So I'm going to use a very simple example that maybe you can help guide, because, you know, the conversation between husband and wife, sometimes the person is nodding their heads and agreeing.
Yes.
But when things are happening and the spouses look, giving them the eyes like, say something, and they're not, it becomes awkward. So let me use a very simple example. Hubby is coming to pick us up.
Yes.
Me and my mother-in-law.
Mm.
Now it's time to see who's sitting in the front seat.
I see where this is going.
Who must sit in the front seat and why?
There's no question about it. The wife must sit in the front seat. There is no question about it. And it's so strange. That's one of the questions that people ask.
Because it's such a simple example, but it's telling of so many other deeper issues. Share with us, with a very relatable example, why is it the wife that sits in the front seat and not the mother?
Look, when I started, I said the whole concept of leaving and cleaving means that you are deprioritizing your family. So basically your spouse becomes a priority. In this case, your wife becomes a number one priority, unless you know otherwise. Right. And the family, when you chose her and brought her home, the family must know that, actually, to say you have chosen this woman becomes a priority. So she takes the front seat.
You know how many mothers are not ready?
Yeah, they will never be ready. Mothers are never ready reluctantly to leave, let go of their sons. You're like, I'm not going to let you go. I am the first wife.
I'm going with you on honeymoon.
Look, it's often than not, they're not ready to actually let go, right? So it's the wife that takes priority. So, and I think we need to actually reiterate it to say, prioritize your spouse. It is quite common for spouses or for couples to fight each other, but they often don't fight for each other.
Yes.
And that's one of the things that we really need to rectify and correct in this day and age. To say, we know that couples go through this, that, and the other,
yes,
and challenges. And we often argue and fight, you know, each other here and there. But it's equally important, if not more important, to actually fight for each other. So in this instance, it is the husband that's supposed to voice out and say, Mama, please go take a back seat. Baby, please come take a front seat. It's simple as that. Especially if your mom, because I would assume that if your mom takes a front seat, then she doesn't respect my boundaries whatsoever. Mm. Or she has got attachment
issues. Can I tell you the question I always ask?
Yes.
When you see those awkward relationships of a mom being put on a pedestal specifically by men, because those relationships are very unique.
Yes.
I always ask, where's her man?
Of course.
Because so many percentage of the time
spent with the son.
Yes. And then I'm like, is she allowed? And then you'll hear the son being like, oh, no man can come into my mama's life. So you're like, how? Marry each other again.
Yeah, no, I'm shot again.
Yes. So in that scenario again,
yes,
how important is it for a man or a woman to stand up to that parent? Because it could also be the father.
Yes.
It could be the woman calling their dad when their car breaks down,
yes,
calling their dad when all these things happen.
Mm.
Now the dad doesn't respect the husband because, yes, like, how? You can't fix it. No, yeah. I've always called my dad.
Sure,
you know,
I'd be so offended.
How important is it for you to not reprimand, but draw the line in front of the spouse?
Look, it's very important. The tricky thing about it is that when it comes to you fighting for your spouse, is that often than not, you actually have to do it in public. So I often say that you protect your spouse in public and reprimand her in private. Often than not, people do the other way around.
Wait, say that again?
You protect your spouse in
public
and reprimand her in private. So basically,
and that applies both
in
ways.
Both ways. Yes. If there is a challenge in the family, this, that, and the other, you have to, your duty and your responsibility as a husband, as a wife, is to protect your spouse there and there. Even if they are wrong, let me just say this: even if they are wrong, protect them in public, and then reprimand them and correct them in private. The danger of correcting your spouse in public is that you are opening a door for him or her to be disrespected. Now, when it comes to, you know, drawing the line, it's quite tricky because often than not, it's say, for instance, we are in that situation where, you know, my mom wants to take the front seat and my wife must go to the back seat. It is I that is supposed to protect my wife then. Right. So when it comes to my family members, I'm the one who's protecting and fighting for my wife. When it comes to her family, she's the one who's doing that for me. Right.
And she must never, or he must never, be left in a position where they have to speak up for themselves. Because now you're opening the door.
Yes.
To Gerowudiji.
Yeah. This boy, what delela? You know, this, that, and the other.
They don't respect me.
That's what you are avoiding, right? Because if I dare speak out, you know, and try to defend myself on, you know, Guma in-laws wami, then I come across as this disrespectful person, right? And they will never respect me ever, right? They will think I'm not well taught, this, that, and the other. That's why it's so important to say to spouses and to partners, please fight and protect your spouse. You must protect them from your family members, from abuse from family members,
even from your children,
as well, you know, because that sometimes we expose them to this amount of abuse, this, that, and the other. We don't appear to the kids as this unified family because we are not protecting our spouses. Protect them from your family members, from your parents. There's one thing that my mom said when I got married. She said it boldly, said, Temba, please protect your wife, protect her even from me. I will never forget those words, right? Mm. And it's true, and I think they cut across. And if couples can actually get that right, you know, they will resolve half of the issues that they have.
I have to just give the biggest props to my younger brother when he got married just before the deal was being sealed. You know, he sat my mother down and he said, "Ma, I love you very much. Up until this moment, you've been the number one woman in my life. Please know, Kausani, o number two, number one. You know, and you need to understand." And I think what is tricky for many people is understanding, because you've grown up knowing my family is my parents and my siblings. When you marry somebody, much as that person is your a stranger that you've known 5 years, that is your new family. But I want to open the lines to some of the questions coming through. We've got a voice note. Okay, as we prepare to come through to get the voice notes coming through, there was one comment that was coming through also just around the thing of the husband allowing the mother, as in her mother-in-law, because that was the norm. Now, how do you start to establish those boundaries if, let's say, you guys were just a couple and you're respectful, but now you are a spouse? Once you get the promotion, should there be a meeting, you know, between this person and their parents to say, "Guys, these are the new rules going forward. This person is my wife or this person is my husband. This is how we're going to proceed."
I'm glad you asked that, because in my view, I think a majority of these dynamics, this mother-in-law, father-in-law dynamics, are actually from the man's side of things. And I often say to men,
I did not want to say.
No. I had to take the bullet. I'm saying it. Often than not, it is, "Oh my God, it's the women that are having problems, you know, with their in-laws instead of the other." And I'll tell you why. You know, I think a larger part of it is because we as men, for instance, I'm the firstborn son in the house. I'm the firstborn, right?
So much pressure.
Yes, so much pressure. And when my father passed away, I had to take over my family and make sure that it take care of them, this, that, and the other. But one thing I learned was that I knew that I want to get married one day. So one of the things I did was to actually make sure that I set, you know, those boundaries before I even get married. Because sometimes you want to do it the night before marriage or the wedding. It doesn't work like that. You know, you need to adjust it now. I once gave a talk to breadwinners, to men, to say, if you are a breadwinner, make sure that you adjust the family's expectations even way before you get married. Because if you want to do it when you are married, your family is going to hate your wife. They will say that she is the one who is taking your money. She's refusing with imaliga puti, this, that, and the other, because you have failed to actually train them way before you got married, right? So if you know that you want to get married and you don't want to cause problems for your wife, prepare them now, right? It's not too late.
Okay, very quickly, this has come through from a listener. How do you handle having an only child who's a boy and his wife doesn't invite you to his wedding? And I have not seen my son since he married. He's not allowed to come home and see me. So this is not the perspective of mama.
That's quite tricky, right? It would be interesting to actually know what is the son's take on this. Where is the son's voice?
Do you know
on
what
this?
I
because
was going
it
to
sounds
say.
Like umakoti this, umakoti that.
Yes.
But what is your son saying? You know, because often than not, it's either, you know, your son is actually enabling it, or if he's not enabling it in the house, then it means there is actually deeper problems in the house, right? And we need to delve into what are those issues in the house. Did they have a relationship before they got married? You know, she and the son? If they did, then what changed? Is she accepting of umakoti? Because often than not, as men, if you don't love the woman that I bring home and you are rejecting her, then forget about me.
Can I tell you my gut feeling without even knowing the details? Of course, I'm not an expert. My gut feeling to the mother who shared this, the problems were there that you are not aware of long before the wife came along.
Yes.
The wife maybe helped facilitate something the son was unable to already communicate with you. And when we've spoken about this before, when a child cuts their parents off and goes no contact, that is not something that happens overnight. It's been something been happening for a long time. There's a message that says, "Lebogile, welcome back. This topic triggers me. Clement must never get married. Heard him earlier. Suffered being made number four for 14 years because the mother-in-law was the wife. The extended family was second, third, and fourth. Just speaking out, I was made to look like I was bipolar for standing up for myself. I would often joke that I'm in as Tembu. I'm so glad I left. I could not anymore. No, thank you, ma'am." Another one says, "Good afternoon, guys. Sorry, I don't understand. So my spouse should never should never be protected. I'm going to try my best to sort this out. In the meantime, a quick voice note.
Good day, Relebogile. This is Simi. Marriage is, it's like a natural progression. You grow from being your parents' child, to being someone's spouse, whether a wife or a husband. So you're no longer under your parents' care. No. You are a spouse now. You need to put your husband or your wife first. Sure, you can go to your parents for advice here and there, but your spouse needs to come first. I find it interesting that you started with a biblical verse. But then what if I'm an atheist?
Afternoon, listeners. Afternoon, Relebogile. With me, I feel always, most of the time, the mother-in-laws are bigger than us when we are just a new wife. So I would always give the space to my mother-in-law due to the leg room in front, and I would sit at the back, and I wouldn't even have a problem with that. I don't even see why it's a fuss. The bigger one must be in front, the smaller one at the back. In fact, I used to enjoy my back seat, especially when I'm going to sit with my kids. So unless the mother-in-law says, it's okay, you can sit in front, then I will. But I will always leave it for her without any problems. Bye-bye.
Thank you so much. I see so many of your messages coming through. Temba, I hope you will commit to coming through for a part two, because we haven't even come to talk about the solutions. And I'm seeing so many people sharing their stories of not being treated well. A mother-in-law that gossips about her, even though she's been living with them for over 10 years. Mm. It is a very serious subject. Much as, yes, we're giggling in between about certain things, it cuts very deep for many people. So I do hope you will honor that invite. But in closing for today, and we will replay those voice notes so that you can respond to them. Yes, the biblical verse is currently one of the most common ones, hence I shared it.
Yes.
And I do believe that it applies. Whether you're atheist, and for the next time you're with us, if you are Islam, whatever it is, what is it that's shared with you? Mm. When you leave to go get married, what is it that your parents say to you about this next chapter, other than Magodi must? Mm. So in closing, Temba.
Thank you so much. You're right. I think it's not just only a thing about the biblical verses. I think it's just a relationship principle. It cuts across. Once you have a partner, you leave and you cleave. You know, and just in closing,
even the friend groups, ne? Yes. Conversation for another day.
Yeah.
Even the boys club.
No. It just doesn't just only apply to parents and stuff. It applies to quite a number of things, friends as well. You know, leave and cleave. But I think the crux of the matter is prioritize your partner. They are the most important thing, number one. And secondly, just fight for them.
Mm. And if you don't believe in prioritizing your partner, you need to ask yourself if you married the right person.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, pick it up another time.